This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast. My name is Mark Vance. I'm joined today by Jason Lankford. Jason, welcome to the Equip Podcast.
Man, Mark, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, brother. So I'm going to give a little overview for those who may not know Jason. Jason is right now serving inside of kind of the two-year church planter candidacy and training process, preparing to plant a church sent out by Cornerstone Church as part of the SALT Network. So right now, kind of year one of that has Jason working alongside SALT Company on the campus at Iowa State, learning kind of some of the college ministry vibe through that, but preparing to go out. And so, Jason, before we go any further, okay, you just announced recently where you're headed. And so for those who may not have heard, 2022, where are you guys planning to plant a church?
Yeah, we're going to be planting a church at Syracuse University. And so we are extremely excited about headed to New York. Not an area that I have lived, spent a whole lot of time in, but an area that desperately believe needs the gospel, and man, can't wait to see SALT Company thrive on the university's campus there.
Okay, so we're going to come back to that, but so that's just a little teaser for people, but I really want people to get to know you and why I'm so excited to have you represent us and be sent from this church. And so let's just start zoomed out. We need the Jason Lankford story. Where are you from? What's your family like? What do you do for fun? How'd you come to faith? And so just kind of give us some the Jason Lankford story as we start out.
Yeah, so originally from the Dallas, Texas area, grew up there, North Dallas, just incredibly blessed to be in a family that loves Jesus, and from a very young age took us to church. In fact, our family jokes that my first words were Jesus. I mean, it just, one of those, like, kind of grew up Sunday school, mom and dad taught, RAs, GAs for those like old Southern Baptist folk. In fact, God even saved me through RAs. And so was a question
okay, hold
asker.
On now.
Oh, sorry. We got to talk about
what
RAs.
We got to define what RAs are, because the only RA I know is resident advisors who live in the dorms.
Yeah.
You know, so what is RAs for those
RAs
who don't know?
RAs is Royal Ambassadors. It was an old Southern Baptist program that used to do, I feel like it was done for those kids whose mom and dads were always at church. Let's create Royal Ambassadors for the boys. And then for the girls, it was GA, so Girls in Action. And so,
there
was a ministry of the church that I was a part of. And really, it was almost like Sunday School 2.0, where it was in the evenings on Sunday night, and had a leader that, man, just continued. I mean, even at seven, continued to challenge us in who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do. And so I was that question asking kid that was never satisfied. And so just continued asking questions, and stayed after one Sunday night and said, his name was John. I said, John, I really believe that I want to give my life over to Jesus. And so, you know, talked to my dad, and then you had to go talk to the pastor at that time, right? So dad couldn't do it all. So set up a meeting to go talk with the pastor. And he asked me questions about my relationship, who I thought Jesus was. And gave my life to Jesus then, baptized a few months later. And really, like, my story is God was so generous to me, not only with my family, but the friends that like he just surrounded me with, even their families. And so moms and dads of friends through middle school and through high school were men and women who I looked up to and who encouraged me to be a part of the local church, who would take us to youth group as we got older, that would take us to youth lock-ins as we got older. And so, I mean, it's just this community aspect of my faith, really, especially through my high school years, was just incredible. The fact that God had blessed me over and over, middle school, high school, with incredible friends, incredible community that encouraged my walk with the Lord.
So that's kind of the base. You have a foundation, Jason, of faith in your life. But you mentioned three things that when you were talking on Sunday, you said, I've got the big A's as part of my story. Africa, Alaska, and Ames. And so we're going to get to the family part of the story with Caroline and the boys, but let's, what the big The three A's.
Kind
of give us the connect the dots there on that part of the story.
So I go to college at Washtenaw Baptist University, small school in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. It's where Austin Wadlow went. It's where Aaron Rodgers went. Both of those guys are part of our network.
Training center.
Yeah,
and Epic Training Center. I just want to underline the name of that. It's not Philadelphia. It's Arkadelphia.
Arkadelphia. Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking when they named this town
name.
Yeah. Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Glorious. Beautiful part of the country. Horrible name. And so, yeah, go to school there. Really. And I major in New Testament theology was kind of my major there. And I honestly, I'm not trying to be, I mean, you think, oh, that sounds super spiritual. I went there because I thought it would be easy. Like I didn't know what I wanted to do for school. So I went, like, I grew up in the church. I was the kid in youth group that knew all the Bible drill answers. Like this has got to be easy. And I went, and Mark, I'm not joking. I early on went, I don't know if I can do this, you know, because it was so much deeper and so much bigger than anything I'd ever experienced. And it's really where I fell in love with the scriptures. And had professors that invested in me, like on a personal level. It's a small school, so classes are, you know, 20, 30 people max. And so really get to connect with professors. They mentored me in my life, you know, unlike I'd ever experienced before. And so it's where I fell in love with the scriptures, but it's also where I fell in love with the nations, because we had a lot of students that were there that were missionary kids, third culture kids. And so I was hearing about some things overseas that, I mean, I'd gone on a couple of short-term trips. The only one really, really far to Europe was Romania after my senior year of high school. But apart from that, just haven't traveled a whole lot. And so I started hearing stories, and my love for the nations just began to explode. And so right after college, I was typical college kid, like, I don't know what I want to do. And so the opportunity, a buddy of mine called and said, hey, have you ever thought about going overseas for like an extended period of time? And I was like, I mean, yeah, kind of, but not really. Are you asking, do we want to go together? And he's like, yeah, like I would love, is it possible? And so we started applying with the International Mission Board to go overseas. And we had a buddy that had been in Sudan while we were in college. And so we would follow his story. And as he came back, we would hear just the incredible ministry opportunity. And so at that point, like I started falling in love with Africa, falling in love with Sudan. And so by the grace of God, he opened the door for me and a couple buddies to go to Sudan. And so 2007, we head to Sudan, not knowing what we're getting ourselves into, and love Sudan. And so I talk about Sudan as two of the hardest years of my life and two of the best years of my life, kind of all wrapped up in one. I think the words that kind of stand out for me, perseverance in ministry, unlike I'd ever experienced before, and that persecution is real. And so, I mean, if you would have bought my plane ticket the first 4, 5, 6 months to come home, I might have taken you up on it. I mean, it was the first month, great. You know, it's new place, everything. But then all of a sudden, can't speak the language. I didn't speak Arabic at the time. I had a mosque right outside my window. And so all night long, the prayers were going off and waking me up. I mean, culture just completely different. And so for the first time in my life, I'm going, what did I get myself into?
Wow.
And
you were there how long, Jason?
Ultimately? 2 years. Yep.
Two years in Sudan. Wow.
Yeah.
So and persecution. And it's also where,
persecution. Yeah, I had friends. So I had a couple of friends that came to know Jesus, and both of them suffered for it in incredible ways. But seeing them walk through that and seeing them, again, them persevere through the persecution that came, I mean, it's something you'll never forget. And it's also one of those, like on those hard days, even back here in the States, where you just kind of remember what they're going through, what they experience, and go, okay, man, praise the Lord for a God who is gracious and good to us and kind to us. And just kind of, remembering their story. So great years. The last year that I was there, one of the greatest years of my life. So I'm finally starting to speak the language. Friends are becoming, I mean, like, just connecting on a different level. And there's still two guys in particular that I still talk to. I mean, it's been 12 years since I returned.
Wow, that's awesome.
I probably talk to them once a month. We still connect on the phone and get to share the gospel and praying big prayers for them to come to know Jesus. And so that was Africa. So that was pre-family, at least wife and kids. So go overseas with a couple of buddies. and then come back and didn't expect it, but within real quick, got reconnected to Caroline. So Caroline and I went to college in Arkadelphia together and got reconnected. When I returned home, it was really weird because I know this may, it may sound kind of crazy, but I kind of expected all my friends who were still back in the States to like hit timeout on their life and not to like progress right. forward. So I come That's back right. And ever like people are married to each other that weren't dating before I left. People have kids and I'm like, what? And so relationships just changed. And so I reached out to Caroline because she was in ministry and we were really good friends in college. And one thing led to another. We start talking via Skype. And then 2 weeks later, I propose. And then 4 months later, we're married.
Okay. So is that the best way to do that? Like, do you tell students like to this day, like if you can yeah. get this thing locked down in 4.5 yeah. months, you go yeah, for it.
When freshmen come and ask me marital advice, Saul always gets really nervous. No. We were older. So we were 27, 28,
right.
a little bit older in life. And no, it is not the way that I recommend a college student. So parents who are listening to this can breathe a little bit. But it was just, right. it was right for us. I mean, I was like, That's I'm not right. doing long distance. My whole plan was to go back overseas. And so Caroline was like, I'm on board for that. And it sounds crazy when we tell college students now, they're like, hang on, what? It's like, yeah, they're, you know, yes, God just read a really cool story with us. So,
so you then end up now you're back in the States, you are married to Caroline. Now yeah. we have been in Africa. Somehow we have to get to the next big A of.
Yeah.
Alaska. So how does this go? Africa, Carolina, Alaska.
Yeah. So we get married and I'm doing my graduate work at Southeastern in North Carolina. And I go on staff at a church in Arkansas. And I, at this point, I have not experienced North American church planting at all. Like, I mean, you kind of hear about it in seminary just a little bit, but even at this point, so this is 2010. I mean, I just didn't know anything about church planting. But I go on staff at a church in Arkansas and they're partnered with a guy who is planting a church in Alaska. And so they asked me like, hey, would you mind overseeing, because of my love for international missions, would you mind just seeing all of our mission outreach, both local, national, international? I was like, awesome. I would love to do that. And so they asked me, hey, we're taking a trip to Alaska. Would you want to go on it? And it's like, yeah, I mean, of course I want to go on it. So Caroline and I, we go and we fell in love with the state. We love the outdoors. If you know anything about me and Caroline, we love the outdoors. And so we started talking with him like, hey, what would it be like for us to come and work with you? And we were thinking like, come on staff there at the church. But about two and a half years later, he called and said, hey, would you guys consider planting out of our church? We feel like we're in a healthy spot financially, numerically. We feel like we can help you with partnerships. And so we started praying about that and the Lord opened the door. So we go and plant a church in Alaska. And I think the overarching theme that I would say of Alaska is friends become family. Wow. So
love that.
We start, you know, when you're that far, 5,000 miles away, you can't go home for Christmas. You can't go home for Thanksgiving. You're not going home for Easter. And so we realized the ministry opportunity for us was inviting people over. And you might think, well, why didn't you do that in Africa? Well, part of it in Africa, culturally, it's just so different that the holidays that we celebrate weren't massive holidays for them. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, I mean, they're not celebrating them.
Right.
They're going on with normal life. But in Alaska, now those are holidays that people are celebrating. So on Thanksgiving, we would have, maybe not year one, but year three for sure, would have 100 people come through our home
for Thanksgiving. Oh my goodness gracious.
We would just
How
say,
many turkeys is Caroline making? Now, yeah. she's a great cook. I got to say, you guys can really make food, but that's a lot of... Do they have turkeys in Alaska? Can they survive up there?
We would have to get turkeys and hams, and we would just say, hey, we'll cover the meat. You bring a side dish or dessert. And we would just kind of do it through like a 4 or 5 hour window and just say, hey, if you don't have anywhere to go, man, come hang with us. Like really, we just say, hey, just let us be an extension of your family. Christmas, the same thing. We had really cool traditions. So yeah, the overarching theme for us is friends become family. Definitely the hardest thing for us when we left Alaska was leaving family. That we would call them as our family there. Our boys, and then that's what they know. They connected with friends there. And so we were there for about maybe just a little over five years. Loved our time in Alaska. And still, I mean, still have great friends that are there. Church is still going, which that excites me. It's not like we left and the church died. The church has continued. It's doing great.
Praise God.
So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's the second big A. We got Africa, we got Alaska, yeah. And now the one that really is a big A, Ames, Iowa.
The biggest Ames, yeah.
Yeah, how do we get from Alaska to Ames?
So when I'm in Alaska, one of our partner churches is a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And on staff at that church is Aaron Rodgers. And
oh, wow.
That's so again, right. Aaron Rodgers and I went to college together. And so Aaron brought multiple mission teams up to us when we were in Alaska. And so as he starts, I remember him starting to talk about wanting to plant a church and start to talk about this network called the Salt Network. And I had very little, so I'm you know, 30,000 feet removed, looking in, watching Aaron's journey and kind of going, man, that the way they're planting, just from, again, 30,000, going, that's incredible what I see them doing. And but really didn't think much more about it because I'm in Alaska, no big deal. Well, I end up leaving Alaska to go to Texas for a couple of years to work for the state convention there, where I get to be on the team that's training, equipping, assessing church planters. And it's a great job, and it is a needed role. But I'm constantly sitting across from church planters and I'm hearing them talk about vision and I'm going, I want to be in their seat. And that's ultimately, I miss being on the front lines of ministry. And so Caroline and I start talking and going, okay, we said we never plant again, but maybe we want to plant again. And if we do, what are some non-negotiables? And so in the back of my mind, I'm remembering Salt Network. And then I come up here for Hitchhikers a couple of years and I get to like, see under the hood of what's happening here in Ames and what's happening even just in a bigger vision of the network around the nation and come home and say, Caroline, like, I think if we planted again, this is the crew that I want to plant with. I love their DNA. I love their model. I love what they're doing on the college campus. And so let's consider this. And so that kind of starts a conversation with her and I, and then, you know, reach out to you and Troy and basically say, hey, is this a possibility? I mean, do I fit the DNA? Do you guys see? Can I train with you guys for a couple of years? I think of Ames like there's a quote. I think it's Piper who says something like, "God is doing 10,000 things in your life, and you only may be aware of three of them." And like I even like pull that back and think about Ames. Of all places, Ames, Iowa, is where this incredible ministry started. Like of all the places around the world. They could have a movement on the college campus. And listen, we know that there are other networks doing incredible things on college campuses, but Ames, Iowa, I knew nothing about Ames. Iowa State, I knew it was in Ames, but apart from that, knew nothing. And so coming here, it's been, just an incredible opportunity to learn. I mean, I get to sit down with some of the greatest ministry leaders and pick their brains and hear how they're making decisions and just kind of be, just sit in the room and absorb. And which has been great. And so here we are in Ames, Iowa.
Well, Jason, we love having you. And you've got your family here has been a blessing. My wife just adores your wife. She's so fun. So you've got Caroline, you got Boston, you got Trek, you got Jude, three incredible boys. So fun. So I want you, like, we've kind of gotten the big dots on the map. We're going to get to Syracuse as we wrap up. But your family is a blast. I love your family. And so give me something that you just think is awesome about each member of your family. Caroline, Boston, Trek, Jude. Yeah. Something you just love about them.
Yeah. So Caroline, I would say that the thing that popped to my mind is hospitality and adventurous spirit. You spoke about it with Easter. We had some people over to the house and my wife loves it. Like she loves to host and have people over. I'm usually trying to kick people out and she's like, no, you can stay longer. You can stay longer. She just loves to host. And then adventurous spirit. I mean, she is, I don't want to say she's just following me like around, but she's in the trenches with me. I mean, I remember our first house in Alaska. I left on a Sunday, still not having a place to live in Alaska. Thursday night, I'm in a hotel in Podunk, Canada. And I call her and she finally has a place for us to live. And I pull in to Anchorage on that Friday and I pull up to the house and I'm not joking, Mark, the house is leaning. It's slanted on stilts. The stairs as we walk up, I'm like, every house in Sudan was nicer than the first place we lived in Alaska. I mean, stuff on the walls, mold. And I was like, what did I do to my family? And she walks in and she's like, I got this. we got this. And I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. I thought, you know, I'm thinking she's going to come in and go, what in the heck did you do? I got a 15-month-old and a 2-month-old at that time. So hospitality, adventurous spirit for her. For Boston, I would say perseverance. Boston, when he was born, he was a preemie. My first two were preemies. And Boston, the first night, they gave him about a 50-50 shot to make it.
Wow.
And so doctors were incredible. And he persevered. And then even as he's gotten older, struggles with severe dyslexia now. But Mark, let me tell you, coming to Ames has been the like a hidden blessing has been connecting in with the school here. We have teachers here. We've been here for only a year. And the progress that we've seen Boston make in reading and writing, like if you'd have told us he was here, we wouldn't have believed you before moving to Ames. Like he is just, he's persevered and he's, man, coming such a long way and love to see, like he'll come home. He brought a book home this past Friday. He was like, Dad, can you read the book? And I'm like, dude, the book actually makes sense. You know, like I'm reading, it's incredible. Trek, I would say, Trek's a question asker, and I love it because I'm a question asker. So I'm having like theological questions with Trek, my middle, who's 7 years old and just doesn't take things at face value. And so we're having Trinitarian conversations with him. He was even asking about like those who have never heard about Jesus, what happens to them, Dad? And it's like, I mean, how you talk to a 7-year-old about it? So I love his like just question asking spirit. And then Jude, my youngest man, 4 and a half, he has a zeal for life, man, that I want. He takes everything, like just running hard after it, loves life, man, loves to play. And so, yeah, it's incredible watching them play together. So I think that's what sticks out for me with the family.
So you and Caroline are taking this Langford crew to Syracuse, New York. It's not following the pattern here, Jason, of places with, you know, Africa, Alaska, Ames. We got Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Why Syracuse, New York? Tell me just a few things that when you guys were searching around made you think, we love this place. We love these people. We think they need a gospel witness to go here.
Yeah. So when we came to Ames, the Northeast in general wasn't on our radar. Like as we were praying about like, God, where might you have us go? The Northeast really wasn't a spot that we were even considering. But about December of this past year, so 2020 is where we're kind of coming in there. And all of a sudden, the Northeast, we kind of opened the door on it and start looking at Northeast. And honestly, first and foremost with Syracuse, as we're doing research, it's known as the Salt City. And so because of our network, Salt Network, I'm going, okay, that we got to at least do some research on this. We got to explore here. Right? And so as we do more research, so a couple of things are popping off for me regarding Syracuse. So one, it's kind of a, I don't say it's a global city in the sense of like a New York or Boston, but it's a global city in the fact that refugees are moving into the city. It's a global city in the fact that 127 nations are represented on Syracuse's campus.
Wow.
One fifth of the student population at the university are internationals. And so for my time overseas, that for me is just popping off the map. Then as I start doing research on the university, we're seeing, I'm trying to look for churches that are trying to engage the college campus and we don't find a whole lot. So the city, Syracuse, the university, 25,000 students, the metro area of Syracuse, about 700,000. So about the same size as Des Moines. And so we're looking at churches that are trying to engage the college campus and we just don't see a whole lot. Doesn't mean that they're not there. Doesn't mean that there aren't some college students that are going to some churches, but we're just not seeing a church that is strategically trying to reach the college campus. And then I even start talking to some of the parachurch ministries that are on campus and they're going, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of, you know, church support here. And we don't have a lot of ministry that's taking place. And so for me, again, my heart for hard places, Africa, Alaska. Right. I mean, I kind of resonate with Paul where he talks about wanting to go where the gospel, he's not like preaching on somebody else's foundation. Like he's going to those places where the gospel hasn't been preached. And so I met even with a couple of pastors there in Syracuse who love the community. Man, they're doing incredible work. And their first words to me were, hey, if you come here, this is before we had decided, but if you come here, know that we've been praying for you for 10 years.
Wow.
Like that we have been begging God to bring church planters to come to our city because our city needs it. And so that was incredible to me to hear from multiple pastors who were in the area of Syracuse. And then even the response that we've had with those parachurch ministries on campus that are going, hey, they're not saying, no, we don't need, they're saying, we would love to have a church that is strategically trying to engage the campus and come alongside us and partner with us as we continue to do gospel ministry. So those for me are things that when we talked about Syracuse, we started looking at Syracuse. Yeah, it's beautiful. Like the landscape's incredible. Those things, you know, they're there, but just the gospel opportunity that is there gets us just incredibly excited about what's to come.
Well, Jason, you and Caroline have been a blessing to us at Cornerstone. I'm excited to get out of the kind of more locked down 2020, even just for the chance to hang out with more people and, you know, a little more normal life. It's been fun having Boston on a soccer team that I coach.
Yeah, like Coach Mark. He loves Coach Mark.
You know?
He loves Coach Mark. Every time he sees you at church, he's like, oh, I hope he doesn't make us do laps. I'm like, we're at church, buddy. It's fine.
Yeah. I can't, you know, punish misbehavior at church. But Jason, you guys have a heart for people and a heart for the gospel going out to the next place. And I'm excited, you know, to see what God does for you and for your family as you're headed to Syracuse. But also, just as I'm reflecting back, it's humbling to see, you know, you talk about Syracuse. I love the way you put it. Like, we're not going there because like we're better than other people. We're just going to a place to be one of those faithful workers on the ground, trying to see fruit as the gospel goes out. And to hear those pastors say, hey, we've prayed for you for 10 years. That's a wonderful gospel invitation, you know, almost that Macedonian sort of call where that guy's saying, hey, why don't you come over here to us?
Yeah, how can we not come out here hearing that?
Yeah, that's right, man. Well, Jason, love you, appreciate you, brother, and thanks, Mark, taking some time. And I hope everybody here on the Equip Podcast, you just get a chance to hear Jason's heart. It helps you to know how to pray. It helps you to know why we give to support gospel church planting. Maybe even for some, it's going to be an incentive to say, maybe I need to be part of going to one of those places, not just saying, here's the life that I have in this place, but here's the next place and the next place. And so, Jason, thanks for modeling faithfulness to the call of God in your life, and really excited to see what God continues to do through you, brother. Thanks for the time, Mark, today.
Absolutely.